want to invite you this morning to go with me to the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. Praise God. Thank you for that beautiful song, Dave. I never get tired of that song, I'll tell you. It just brings in the presence of the Lord every time I hear it. Glory be to God. Well, last week, you know, we shared some things, kind of took a little break from our series on because of the holiday Thanksgiving. So we shared some things along that line about giving thanks. But I want to pick up prior to that, two weeks ago, and we're talking about reigning in life, how to reign in life. This would be number four, I think. But in Romans 5, verse 17, we'll read here, it says, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift, notice that, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, even so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. I made mention of the fact that a couple of weeks ago that the word one, O-N-E, is used seven times in these verses right here. And we talked about, and just to repeat a little bit what we talked about here, that the entire Bible, you know, is, there are several hundreds and hundreds of different people listed, named in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But really, the Bible is only about two people. It's only about Adam and Jesus. Amen? This will help you understand the whole Bible. It's really about two men, Adam and Jesus. Now, both of these men made decisions that affected the entire human race. Adam's disobedience contaminated the entire human race, and Jesus' obedience affected the whole human race. Amen? One was a bad choice, a bad decision. The other was a good choice and a good decision. But both of those decisions affected people, past, present, and future. Amen? So our choices are important, aren't they? They affect more than just us. And we're talking about reigning in life. And but thank God we can identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. See, the first Adam is called the first Adam in the book of Corinthians. He's also, Jesus is called the last Adam, the second Adam. So Jesus passed the test that Adam failed. All right? So here's what I want to cover today in the time that we have here. And we started talking about this 2 weeks ago. How do we reign in life? Notice verse 19. It says, For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, even so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Okay? Verse 17 is what I'm looking for here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more they which receive the abundance of grace, and notice this, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. That's our series title here, How to Reign in Life by One, Jesus Christ. All right? And so we begin to talk about how do we reign in this life, R-E-I-G-N. How do we reign in this life? If you're taking notes, and if you're not taking notes, take them anyway. But number one, because how many of you want to win in here? I mean, nobody here wants to wake up and lose. Okay? We want to learn how to win in life. And that's what we're all about, praise the Lord, because Jesus did some things for us to teach us and show us how we could win in this life. The first way that we reign in this life is to identify with your second birth, not your first birth. Okay? In John 3:3, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, no man can see the kingdom of God except a man be born again. Okay? And we've been twice born. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and all that simply means is saying yes to Jesus, I believe that you died for me, you were buried for me, you were resurrected for me. And when we believe that, and we say and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, He comes in and gives us the new birth. Okay? So don't identify with your first birth, identify with your second birth. See, a lot of people, you know, if you go to a medical doctor, first thing they'll ask you is about your family history. They'll give you all these papers to fill out, you know, and they'll ask you, did this run in your family? Did this run in your dad's side, your mother's side? You know, is there any history of this? And it's usually a negative thing. Okay? Now, that's identifying with your first birth, okay? But see, we're to identify with our second birth, and that's the new birth, where our Father is God, amen, and Jesus Christ is our elder brother. And when I look at Jesus, and He's at the right hand of the throne of God, does He have sickness?
No.
Is Jesus broke?
No.
No. Is there any? Jesus even prayed, Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So there are things in heaven that God wants to be in the earth that we have to pray them from heaven to earth. Health is God's will. Provision is God's will. Amen? Victory is God's will. Hallelujah. And the way that we get that, you see, sometimes when you share this for the first time, people look at you like a dog at a new pan. They're like, they're waiting for bad news to be unloaded. You know what I'm saying? See, I went to church for years, you know, I got a bunch of bad news, amen? You're a bunch of worms, you know, you're barely making it, you know. But let me tell you something, when you identify with your second birth, you have to identify with victory because victory runs in your family. Success runs in your family. Health runs in your family. I say, well, what do you mean, Brother Keith? That's your second birth. You identify, you're born again now. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new. Aren't you glad for that? So how do we reign in this life? First of all, identify with your second birth. How can that be practically done? Okay, here's a couple instructions for you. If you look at the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, in the epistles, the letters that are written to the church, the epistles are not the apostle sisters, all right? They're the letters that are written for the church, for you and for me. For 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philemon, you know, Hebrews, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Jude, 1 and 2 and 3 John. Amen? These are the epistles. These are the letters that are written to you and I, to the church. You're going to find a phrase in there called in Him or in Christ. In Him, in Christ, or by Christ. These are prepositions. Okay? Taking it all back to English class here, you know? And it shows relation. Okay? We are in Christ, in Him. If any man be what? In Christ. That shows your relationship with Christ. Are you in Christ? I mean, if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. You're in Christ. Like that baby is inside that mother, and whatever that mother eats, that baby eats. Wherever that mother goes, the baby goes. Amen? And so you begin to identify, this is my second birth, this is my new birth, and everything Christ gets, I get. He gets victory, I get victory. It flows from the vine to the branch, and that's all of our life comes from Him. He said, you're the branches, I'm the vine, and you can't produce fruit apart from the vine, and all that life and the sap that comes through the vine goes into the branches. And so what's in Christ, in the vine, in the tree itself, flows into the branches in you and I. And as He is, so are we in this world. That's what the Bible says. There was a lady that I had heard about through Joseph Prince's ministry that had gotten a hold of some of his material, and she had a terminal disease. And I'll just make this real quick here. But the doctors had given her up to die, only gave her a few months to live. She had a death sentence. That's her first birth, okay? But she got a scripture in the book of John. It says, as He is, Jesus, so are we in this world. And she was just dumb enough to believe the scripture. Amen. And she said, all right, how is Jesus? Is He sick? No. Is He broke? No. In her case, is Jesus sick? Is He full of disease? As He is, so am I in this world. She said, well, if Jesus isn't sick, if Jesus doesn't have cancer, then neither do I. I'm not receiving this. I'm not accepting this. She went back to the doctor, and they ran the same test and couldn't find anything wrong with her at all. Nothing wrong. Well, what happened? Was the first test wrong? No, they showed something that was there. Okay, they could line them up on the charts, you know, put the x-rays up there and see, here it was, now it's gone. That wasn't a Houdini act. That was Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
As He is, so am I in this world. And when you identify with your second birth through Jesus Christ, there is no sickness in Him. There is no poverty in Him. There's no oppression in Him. There's no depression in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't counsel someone out of that. You just receive the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
And so, how do we reign in life? First of all, identify with your second birth. I remember the first time I got a Thompson Chain Bible that I had bought when I first went to Bible school. It was the first Bible I had ever bought. I had this old, I think my grandmother had passed it down to our family, and I had this Bible. It was old. Pages were falling out of it. And I got this Thompson Chain Bible. Now, I had never written anything in my Bible, never. I thought it was sacrilegious back in the day. But I went to Bible school, and they said, you know what? It's God's not going to fall off His throne if you write in your Bible. So hesitantly, I would take that pen and I would write in the Bible. I can write my name in there. And I find the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say in Christ.
In Christ.
Okay, I just found myself right there. So I put my name. I wrote K-E-I-T-H. Therefore, if Keith be in Christ, Keith is a new creature. Old things, old sin nature has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Amen?
Amen?
You know when the Apostle Paul said, my old man is dead, he wasn't talking about his dad. He's talking about the old sin nature. Dead and gone. Amen? And he identified with the first birth, resurrected Christ. Glory to God. And I'll tell you, and that was in 1978 I got a hold of that. 79, right around that time, I started getting a hold. That's been a few years, amen? But I began to look in the mirror, literally. I'd be driving down the road, looking in that little mirror in my car. And I'd say, Keith, you are in Christ. Now, it seemed kind of funny at first. I wasn't used to doing that. But I would look in that mirror and I would say, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because, man, I needed help so bad. If I would have went to psychology, they said, there's no help for this guy. I'd be honest with you. Okay? But I found my hope and I found my confidence only in the Word of God. Amen? I was a loser going somewhere to happen before that. Do you understand that? But when I understood my second birth, I don't know why, it made me so excited. Some people look at the Bible and they get bored at it. Are you kidding me? I began to find things in the Bible that this is who I am. This is what I have. I was used to losing in life. You understand that? But when I found out who I was in Christ, it changed everything. It radically changed the way that I thought. And then I began to overcome things in my life one by one. Amen? This little challenge, this other challenge, this big challenge. And all of a sudden, I began to reign in life. Amen? And this is what we're talking about, how to reign in life. Number one, identify with your second birth. Find those scriptures in the New Testament, in the epistles especially, about in Him, in Christ. Anytime you read through that, you'll see He's talking about you. The second thing I want to cover today in the time, the few minutes that we have left here, is receive the gift of righteousness. Let me say that again. Receive the gift of righteousness. It says, much more, they which receive the abundance, not just grace, abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign, rule. The Amplified says, rule like a king in this life. Amen? I know when I was growing up, you know, some of you might remember this. There was this butter commercial. It wasn't butter. It was called Imperial. It was margarine is what it was. That stuff's really bad for you, man. That'll clog some arteries. The real butter won't, but that stuff will. Because man made it. Genetically altered substance, amen? And anyway, and it was called Imperial Butter, and they would show people taking, put it on their sandwich or whatever, piece of bread, and they would take a bite, and all of a sudden this crown would appear on their head. Do y'all remember that? It's still on YouTube. I should find it sometime and play it to you, but it's pretty dated. It goes back 100 years, you know. And they would see this crown all of a sudden on their head. Well, see, that's what happens when you begin to understand who you are in Christ. You're crowned with honor and with glory. That's the way God created you. Amen? But you see, to reign in this life, to rule and reign in this life, you have to receive the gift of righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? I'm glad you asked. Let me give you the definition. It says, It means right standing with God. Rightness. The ability, notice this, the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt, inferiority, as if sin never existed. Woo, glory to God. We could stop right there and go home and say we've had a good service today. Amen. Right standing is the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt, inferiority, as if sin never existed. Righteousness is a gift. You can't work for it. You don't do things to attain righteousness. There are no unrighteous people going to heaven. Someone says, well, Brother Keith, you know, I believe, you know, in the sweet by and by, that pie in the sky mentality, when I go to heaven, then I will be made righteous. No. If you're not righteous now in the earth, right now, you ain't going to heaven, buddy. Are you with me? There's no unrighteous people in heaven. So that means this. Here's the good news. You can walk as a mere human in this earth, but be the righteousness of God in Christ. Hey, the Apostle Paul said this in a book of Ephesians chapter 6, and when he's talking about the full armor, put on the full armor of God. Remember one of the first pieces he said, put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Okay? And so righteousness is a gift that God gives to those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This gift of righteousness is the number one thing that the enemy will fight in your life. Okay? He'll make you feel like a worm in the dust. You know, you screwed up. You messed up. But guess what? If you're a Christian, you're still saved. Amen? You make a mistake. You mess up. You can still pray in the Spirit. Well, people that aren't filled with God can't do that. Amen? Because the Holy Ghost is still there to help you, even if you do miss it. And we all do from time to time, don't we? We fall short somehow, right? But that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Jesus doesn't have to come back down, die on the cross, and be resurrected all again. He already did it once and for all for you. Amen? But see, listen, folks, this is so important that you understand this. This has robbed people a sense of unworthiness before men and before God, has robbed more people of their faith and their confidence than any other thing in the body of Christ for years. You know, you go to pray and the thought comes to your mind, oh, you know, maybe you should get someone else to pray for you. I don't feel very worthy today. Amen? Listen, I don't feel like a man today, but I is one. There's no special feeling attached to that. But I know that I am one. Amen? I don't have to feel worthy or feel righteous. I am righteous because of what Jesus did. Amen. And you can stand before demons and devils and sickness and disease when you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, and you can stand boldly before that mess and those oppressive devils and demon spirits that are trying to oppress you. Yeah. And you can stand up against them and say, no, you don't, Mr. Devil. You're not coming to my house anymore. God made me the righteousness of God in Christ. See, we're not bragging on what we've done. It's what Jesus did. You know, it's not egotistical to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? You're just saying what the Scripture says. We're going to see that here in a minute. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Go over to James, the fifth chapter, with me real quick here. James, the fifth chapter. So again, righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt, inferiority, as if sin never existed. Or in other words, the way Adam and Eve were before they ever sinned. They didn't know what fear was until they sinned. Adam ran from the presence of God and hid from the presence of God after he sinned. But prior to that, he had fellowship in the cool of the day. God will come down and talk with him and speak with him. There's no separation. There's no wall. Okay? But sin broke that relationship and broke that fellowship. And Jesus restored that relationship more than what Adam and Eve had. We have more than what he has now. Do you know that? And so that means, well, let's just read here. Oh, glory to God. James, the fifth chapter. James is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and same mother as Jesus, but you know what I'm talking about. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? In other words, Joseph was his father, okay? But Mary was his mother, all right? If any among you be afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save or restore the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Isn't this wonderful? He's like asking a question. Is anybody out there sick? Let him call for the leaders of the church. And verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. In other words, he's saying here, have a forgiving heart. Okay? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now see that right there? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And then he goes on, he uses this illustration here. Elijah was a man subject unto like passions, like we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Josh, can you go over to the Message translation of that? All right, there we go. MSG, here we go. It says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together and together whole and healed. The prayer of a person, notice this, living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years, and then he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it did. Showers came and everything started growing again. Isn't that good? Now, when we think about Elijah and these people in the Bible, we think these are like superheroes in the Bible. But he says right here that Elijah was a man of like passions, like me and like you. He knew what it was like. He was a human being too. But notice it says that the effectual, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man, the Amplified says, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I don't know anything personally that will ignite your faith quicker than to acknowledge and believe and have a revelation that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. If you are going to rule and reign in this life over circumstances, over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over oppression, over depression, your answer is not a psychologist. If there's any in here that's a psychologist, I'm not criticizing you, okay? They have their place, okay? They have their place. But there's a higher authority in the Word of God. And when you begin to understand that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, if you go out from here, for example, if you leave from this place, and you go out there and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the way up till next Sunday, and you say several times a day, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The next time that you begin to pray, you're going to see quicker results. Because you're not leaning on your own flesh. You're not leaning on your own ability. You're not leaning on your own wisdom. Okay? You're leaning on His righteousness because you're now in Christ. You have the righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Him. There's a preposition. In Him. You're the righteousness of God. And so when you pray, demons tremble. And when you pray, the heavens move on your behalf. Why? Because you're not thinking, God, I know you're out there. You're about 1,000 miles away. You know, one of the most damaging prayers that people could pray, and I've heard this prayed, I've been in the presence of people that have prayed this, and, you know, not lately, but the most damaging prayer that someone can pray is, Lord, please be with us today. Now, that sounds humble. It sounds spiritual. It sounds great. But in reality, you're actually saying, God, you're not with us. So please be with us. Now, what about the scripture in Hebrews chapter 13? It says, God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, Master, I just don't feel God's presence. I just don't feel like He's with me. That's your flesh lying to you. Are you with me? And you need to look at your flesh and say, you're lying, flesh. God says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Oh, I'll tell you what. You start meditating on that, you put that, and you start chewing on that a little bit. Oh, He'll never leave me or forsake me. You can be in the darkest place in your life. He'll never leave you or forsake me. Amen? Glory to God. When I was on that hospital bed back in last December, I kept saying that over and over again. If God be for me, who can be against me? God, you never leave me. You never forsake me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? And those scriptures came rolling up on the inside of me. Amen? And what was the end result? Healing, deliverance, freedom. Glory to God. Amen? Not because of me, not because I'm anything special. The Word is special. Jesus is special. And everything He did for you. He didn't do anything for Himself. When Jesus walked this earth for those 33 and a half years, every word, every deed, every action that He did, He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for you and for me. He was selfless. Everything He did was for our benefit. And even today, His present day ministry, where He ever lives to make intercession for us, He's still giving to us constantly. He didn't just give to us on the cross. Yeah, He did. But He continually gives to us. Amen. Go over to 1 Peter real quick here. I want you to see something here. The thing that, like I said, that we want to major on today is, how do we reign in life? Will you identify with your second birth? Number two is receive the gift of righteousness. When you became a Christian, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. Isn't that wonderful news? Well, Pastor, I came to hear bad news today. You came to the wrong church then. You understand what I'm saying. But you're not going to get bad news here. Now, this is bad news for the devil. He already lost. Okay? You talk about a loser. He's the biggest loser that there is. Anybody that thinks they're going to overtake God's throne has serious problems. And there ain't no psychologist that's going to help him. Okay? Jesus defeated him. They made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. Where'd I have you go? First Peter, right? Okay. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 7. Now let's jump down to verse 12 because of time here. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Notice this, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now notice the phrase, the first part there, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto our prayers. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
He's talking about you right here. Are you righteous, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Why? Because of who? Jesus. Okay. So when he's writing this scripture right here, his eyes, so that means God has eyes, his eyes are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto your prayers. So that means you don't have to have some special goosebump, some special feeling. You can pray in the name of Jesus and you have all heaven's attention. So folks, some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen didn't come with a flash of lightning or a chill running up down my spine. In fact, I felt pretty natural. Felt pretty carnal, to be honest with you. But just praying with someone, laying hands on it, and a miracle took place. A miracle took place. And I knew it had nothing to do with me. It's just you lean on your covenant. You lean on that covenant that you have with Almighty God. You ought not walk around with your head hanging down in shame. Never. The Christian ought never to do that. Amen? He'll straighten you out, put your shoulders back, put a smile on your face. Put a new look on your face. Why? Because your confidence is in Christ, what He has made you. I'm in Christ. Are you in Christ? And everything He gets, I get. Here's the last scripture here. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Now, I wrote down here, and this is, I boldly highlighted this on my notes right here, but when you understand and you believe that you are in right standing with God, you will possess a new confidence and boldness like you never had before. Amen? So, folks, it's so important to have boldness. Boldness before heaven. Boldness before men. Boldness before hell. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, when you begin to, you start going into the field of prayer, it's not like, oh, laboring in the prayer. Man, you get to go into a place of prayer and you'll get quicker results like never before because you begin to realize, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I screwed up yesterday. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you think you messing up is going to make you lose your salvation? Are you kidding me? Now, that's no advocate that you go out and do wrong and so forth, because you don't want to, if you're saved, you don't want to do wrong. Amen? But just because you mess up and you sin and you make a mistake, that doesn't mean you lose your salvation, folks. Are you with me now? Okay? Are you with me now? Some of you are choking at that right now a little bit. I would think that your righteousness is a little more secure than if this first mistake you make and then you got to go back to the altar and get saved all over again. No. Are you with me now? People that believe that stuff never live right. They never live in victory because they're always waiting for the hammer to fall. Okay? The next mistake. Amen? But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, you would think they would have said it like this. Don't sin anymore. And by the way, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not. When you wake up to the fact that you're righteous, sin won't be a problem. Amen? Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And my meter has just about run out of change here. Anybody got a quarter here? I'll put one more in here. When my wife starts pointing at her watch, we know we're in trouble. Amen. Thought you could get away with that, huh? Just take it off and throw it away. No, this is the last one. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It says, for he hath made him, that's God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus didn't sin, but he was made sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made sin. The righteousness of God in him. Now, does it say anything there about when you get to heaven? No. He's talking about right now, present tense. Today, November 30th, 2014 at 11:42. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. What does that mean? That means when you pray, God hears you. And you can have new confidence. You're praying for someone that's over in California or in another country somewhere. There's no distance in the spirit realm. You can pray. That can be, for Pete's sake, in Australia, on the other side of the globe, and you can pray and get results just like that. Why? Because your righteousness supersedes all that stuff. Amen? When you know that you have right standing with God, you can pray and you can see immediate results. Prayer doesn't have to be a bore anymore. It can be exciting. Amen? And I'm going to have to pick this up next week. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the gift of righteousness. Praise the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I would like to give you an opportunity today to become the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to go to college for it. You don't have to do a bunch of good things for it. You just have to receive it just like a gift. A gift is not worked for, but it's received. Jesus died. He took your sin. He became sin. He didn't sin. He became sin. He became the curse. And he exchanged with us the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What a gift. Money can't buy that. Gold and silver cannot provide that. But just by receiving it,